Attention HR professionals. Are you tired of dealing with poor performance from your managers? Are you sick of having managers run to you for every single little problem? Would you like to build the confidence and competence of your management team? If so, then contact Boss Builders. At Boss Builders, we specialize in building up the skills and confidence of your organization's managers. We do this through our popular Driving Results on-site training programs, our signature program, the Video-Driven Boss Builder Academy, and we even license our course materials so you and your internal training staff can get those managers confident and competent. For more information on how we can help you improve the performance of your organization's managers, contact us today at www.thebossbuilders.com or at 931-221-2988. Should the cabin lose pressure, oxygen masks will drop from the overhead area. Please place the mask over your own mouth and nose before assisting others. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast, the show focused on the overworked, overwhelmed, and underappreciated HR professional. And now, here is the host of our show, the Boss Builder, Mac Monroe.
If we cannot respect another, how can we expect them to respect us? If we cannot respect someone's beliefs, how can we expect them to respect ours? If we cannot respect another's race, how can we expect that race to respect us? If we cannot respect others, how can we expect respect in return? Everyone expects respect, no matter who they are. The only way to gain it is to start treating everyone as a friend, a brother, a sister, as part of our extended family, no matter what color or creed they are. Only then will you start to get the respect you so dearly crave. As HR professionals, one of the things I'm sure you are always looking for is respect. Now, we define respect here at Boss Builders as the fact that people will take you seriously. And in my travels and working and speaking at the HR conferences, one of the things I always hear is that people feel like they don't have their seat at the table, that what they say is not listened to, that their expertise is not valued. And that's a real problem. And so that's the problem we're going to work on in this episode of HR Oxygen. Our guest today is Maggie Sterner. Maggie is a brand and business coach, and she's going to talk about how to earn that seat at the table and have your voice heard and listened to. Maggie is a lot of fun. This is one of the most fun interviews I ever did. She is just full of energy, but most importantly, she's going to give you really great strategies. And it's funny, I'm looking at her website with some of the testimonials, and here's one you're really going to laugh at. It's her son, and his name is Casey, and he says, if you ever want your whole life held bare naked in front of you and spanked into action, call my mother. So that's the Maggie Sterner we are going to talk to on this episode, and maybe she will do the same for all of us. So with no further delay, let's go ahead and meet our special guest, Maggie Sterner. Maggie Sterner, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mac. I'm so excited to be here.
I don't think you're as excited as I am because the topic today is one that I think if you've listened to no other episode of HR Oxygen, this ought to be the one you listen to and listen to multiple times. It is really hitting our audience, the overwhelmed, overworked, overstressed, and underappreciated HR professional. And what you're going to share with us today is how to look at that and develop a better brand. And so before we get to these questions, which I can't wait to talk about, I was hoping you could share something about your background with all of us.
My background is super eclectic. I have been a rock DJ. I have been a photojournalist. I was a TV and radio reporter for CBS News. I worked as a project manager and user experience analyst at NPR.org. And what else have I done? Oh, manage multilingual websites. My background, but when I look in retrospect, when I look at it from the high level, I see that my thing is communication, is clear communication. Be succinct, be clear, bottom line it. It was something I couldn't quite see while I was in it. And I struggled for a while to find, what do I really do? What do I really do? And what I really do, I see, is look at a situation that's got a lot of moving parts, and I'm able to see what's the essence of the thing and articulate it and reframe it in a way that everybody can get what it is. I had to turn around stories and walk into bombings and shootings and all kinds of craziness when I worked at CBS radio and TV. And I needed to be able to assess a situation really, really fast and turn it around and describe it in 40 seconds or less so that my audience could get it. And I realized that's what I do now for my branding clients. That skill enables me to hear your million word story and go, oh, here's what's happening. Here's the thing. Here's what you do. And then when they can connect with that, they go, oh, right. It's like, I call it like seeing the face of Jesus in the tortilla. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. You'll always know that that's the thing you bring to the party.
That's powerful. And I'm just thinking, if you're an HR person, you're probably wishing that Maggie could walk into your office with the manager that has this enormous problem and have Maggie just say, let me summarize it in a couple of sentences. And then suddenly Jesus appears in a tortilla and you get your expertise to solve the problem. I love it. And I cannot let go of that analogy now. I think people, most people see Jesus like in the grilled cheese sandwich, but the tortilla, that works for me.
Well, I have to confess, I'm not particularly religious, but it's like, you know, that thing where you see the thing, you can never unsee it. It's once you know what you bring to the party, I call it the superpower. And my tagline is live your superpower. Once you know it, you'll never unknow it. But also when you know, this people like to throw a million words out there about things. And I'm just like, bottom line, bottom line, bottom line, help me reframe it. Use a metaphor so that people, there's a communication gap that I think often happens, especially with HR departments. If the people talking to the HR department have an attitude or a point of view that they bring to the conversation, and the HR people may have an attitude or a point of view. And what's actually happening is those points of view are colliding and the attitudes are colliding and nobody's really having conversations.
Yeah. Well, that describes pretty much what you see every time you turn the news on. But I'm thinking out loud here, which I'm prone to do. I'm thinking, Maggie, of course, with your permission, I would love to bring you back on our sister station, which is the Boss Builder podcast, and maybe just do one on, like, maybe I was with my granddaughter yesterday and my daughter says to Eleonora, my 3-year-old, use your words. And maybe we could do a show on how to use your words. I'm sure our HR professionals.
Oh my God, that would be so fabulous. It's like, I'm actually like part of my brand is people call me they say, you have a way with words. You're a wordsmith. I'm always known as the wordsmith wherever I go. And it's one of those things where we actually can't see our own brilliance and our own brands. We can't, it's almost a little hard for us to see it. I believe it lives in our blind spots. But when I hear that, I get the feedback from people who tell me what I bring to the party. And wordsmith is one of those. So I could talk about words all day long and how to use them effectively and powerfully.
Love it. Well, let's focus on the word for today. And the word for today for our HR audience is the brand. And so let's start with the basics. What does the brand have to do with HR?
I don't assume that anybody knows what a brand is or we have some made up concepts. A brand in the context that I work with it, with my clients, is it's who you are. It's what you stand for. What you stand for is your brand. And what your brand is what you stand for. And what your brand is the thing people already get about you. You can't hide it. You can't change it. It's the energetic essence. And I'm not being airy-fairy about it because we're all energetic creatures and we're always reading a room. You know, our human brains neurologically are wired to look for danger. That's our first go-to. So we're always looking to read what's happening, who is this person, am I in danger, am I safe, is it cool, right? Mm-hmm. So a brand is the thing people get about you in a nanosecond. And they already have an opinion about it. They've already voted about it. And it's always just the truth of who you are. It's your authentic self. And companies have it. They spend a lot of energy and time reflecting on it to know what that is so they can communicate it clearly and consistently. And it's important for an HR department to know this because this is the part where they may get mixed up. They're not quite clear about what they bring to the table. And if people are complaining about not being invited to the table, my question would be, well, what is it you bring to the table? Let's spend some time looking at that. So your brand is how people perceive you, the feeling they get about you, and it's also what you know about yourself and what you stand for in what you deliver. How are you being of service?
I love that. I'm thinking a lot of people, and I'm just, you know, we go to a lot of SHRM conferences. And so you say, you know, so I'm Mac. And they say, hey, Mac, what do you do? And then, you know, I tell them what I do. And I say, what about you? Oh, I work in HR at XYZ company. And that's the job. But I don't really hear anything beyond that. So would a brand help answer that question a little bit better?
That question, I call that the dagger in the heart question. People freak out when they have to say what they do, and they think their title is what they do. Your title is just what's on your door. If it says CFO or HR, head of HR, I know that I'm going to find HR kind of things inside the door. But how you help me is what I really want to know. And your brand is connected to that. It's how you help. Like my brand is, I would say I help businesses discover what they're really selling so they can articulate it clearly and connect with their target audience. That's my thing, right? So an HR person, your title is irrelevant. It's sort of the second or third sentence. And at the end, when I talk about it, I have a great worksheet for people to use that can help them kind of get to the bottom of that.
Well, and that makes sense. So if an HR person doesn't really even think about what happens after you give the title, what kind of problem can that create for them?
The problem it creates is people, because, you know, when we tell people how we help others and what we really do, like my real job is to be your, you know, brand message, your brand courage coach, right? When I say things like that, I'm actually connecting with my target audience. I'm connecting with people because we're not talking to other titles. We're talking to people when we meet each other. So you'll have better connections with your colleagues. It's very humanizing to talk about how you help others and what you do that's not connected to your title. You can connect with each other. People can connect. If they know how you help other people, they'll go, oh, you know what? My friend Jane really needs you. She needs to come see you, right? People will know you're the go-to person for what you do. You get acknowledged. You become visible. People, you get known for a thing. You get recognized. You have more chances to get recognized within your community and within your organization. You get better known in your field. And when you know what others do, you can share those you get like a shared knowledge base for the good of the mission of your organization, if anybody's even connected to that, which sometimes they aren't. So there are a lot of benefits to, the benefit of knowing how you help other people. I provide, I help, I guide, I support, right? It's always an action verb that's in there. It's never me. I'm the most awesome at this. It's never about you. It's always about them. Because we're all self-interested. We want to know how you can help me. And then when I know how you can help me, and maybe it's not I that needs the help, then I can refer you to other people. And it grows exponentially and everybody wins. You get to give the help that you're uniquely qualified to offer. You get to live your superpower and people get the help they need. I'm getting truth. I call them truth bombs. The hairs on my leg and my body are standing up. It's like I'm dropping truth bombs right now.
Well, I hope everybody's receiving them. Well, you know, this is interesting because at least in my experience working with HR professionals and listening to them, you know, tell me what's going on, I hear a couple of different expectations of them. So, for example, the employees expect them to be in their corner and partner with them against their boss who's being bad. Mm. And then I have those bosses who go to HR and say, you need to help me fire this individual, the very individual who's complaining about them, by the way. Mm-hmm. You have the HR person's bosses, which typically are the executives, who may have an expectation that even though we hired you to keep us out of trouble, we're not interested in you telling us what we should do because it's not fun. And by the way, I thought your job was to plan the parties. So it seems like everybody's got a different expectation. And that, to me, sounds like it could be a very confusing way to build a brand. So, you know, those are some of the issues we hear. And then it's all rolled up into this big one that we hear all the time. And that is, hey, I want a seat at the table. So all of that said, Maggie, those are like data bombs I just dropped on you. What do you think is going on here? And what could be the problem?
You know, as you were talking, I actually saw a mental picture of, you know, HR is actually a conduit in two directions, from employees to the company and from the company to the employees. People who say, I want a seat at the table, when I hear that, I go, wow, they're not, they want a seat at the table. For some reason, they're not getting it. And what's up with that? So my question for the HR professional is, how are you showing up? In what way are you showing up? Their people can't see you, right? Because let's just say nobody has any malicious intent, but there's something going on in you. There's some attitude or point of view that you're holding about why you don't get this seat that's actually blocking you from being invited, right? Because complaining and resistance is not inviting. It's unattractive. And I mean unattractive in that it's not magnetic. It's not attracting people. So this comes back to brand clarity. And it means when you know what the value you bring and who you are and what, and you're really anchored in your area of expertise with right-sized confidence, and you are able to communicate that to your bosses and to employees, that's when people start getting invited to the table. People go, oh, really? I had no idea that Jane in HR was able to do this, who's able to navigate. She is the advocate for the company and she's the advocate for the employee. And that's a delicate dance to do, frankly. But when the HR person is responsible 100% for knowing how they help, who are they helping? Why and what do they bring to the table?
Yeah, well, because sometimes that role I don't think is ever really defined. I think people just sort of fall into what's expected. And unfortunately, expectations tend to be fairly low.
No, expectations, I call those assumptions. Mm-hmm. And there's a book I actually make all my clients read. It's required reading. It's called The Four Agreements. And the first one is, the four agreements is don't make assumptions. So let's say in HR, like everybody's got expectations. Well, what are they? Like, let's actually get them out into the air. What, get them out in the world, get them out of your head and write them down. What are your expectations and how true are they? Is it an expectation for personal gratification? Is it an expectation? This is the discovery process of branding, where the top level is expectations and assumptions that we make about what others are thinking. If we say that, then they're going to think this. If we don't say that, then they're going to think that. Well, everybody, you know, these are just like, it's only your brain, it's only your mind making up stories about things. So when I hear expectations, I go, well, who said so? Where did that come from? Have you checked? Did you ask the person, what are you expecting of me?
You're actually suggesting we be proactive instead of saying, well, that sucks. People think that of me. I guess I better just own it. It sounds like you're almost, and this almost sounds like a company that has a really bad thing go on with a lot of negative PR, turning around and trying to figure out, okay, let's fix this thing. Let's change expectations. Is that kind of what we're talking about?
Yes, Mac. I love that you mentioned that, because the proactive part, the taking ownership of and taking responsibility for our role and how we show up in the world is 100% of the time. Well, I'm going to say 99.99 because we can't ever be 100% sure. But that ownership is the part where when we're grounded in that, we can actually be recognized and known for the thing. It's the ownership part is it's the challenge. It's the part where we have to look at ourselves. It's hard to do because we tend to be in the habit. It's easy to go, well, yeah, they are, or yeah, but I call them the yeah, buts. People go, well, yeah, but the company, blah, blah. And yeah, but the employees, well, Jimmy over there and, you know, that department, well, he's got, you know, let's check. How about checking? How about looking to see what filters you're bringing to the table? What are you making up about the story that's strictly your filter on the story that has nothing? There are the facts, and then there's your story. This is a place I love to work, which is let's separate the facts from the story so we can understand what's really happening here and start showing up, owning our role. I was just at a retreat with my colleagues, a business retreat, and somebody showed up not owning their part, how they created a certain environment with lots of expectations and assumptions, and it created chaos, bad feelings, anger. It was very educational, and I went, wow, this is what happens when people start making up stories about what others are responsible for doing for us, right? I'm really hardcore about this. It's a practice. We're conditioned and programmed. It's become the norm to people don't judge us necessarily for blaming other people. And we spend a lot of time moaning around the lunch table or in line at the cafeteria going, yeah, you know, so-and-so had that thing and they did this and they said that and I said this. And then everybody we get everybody in agreement with our story. Right. When factually there's no, like, that's just a story you made up, and it creates lots of bad feelings. It contributes to an environment and a culture where people are just not having clean transactions with each other. It dirties the water, I believe. This is my philosophy about this.
Well, you know, based on my experience working with a lot of companies, I think it's pretty common. And if you could just cut everything down to the data, to the truth, you could solve it, but it is wrapped in emotion and in verbalizing opinion. And so I think that's, if you're looking for the cause of what could create a horrible work culture, that's the language of it right there. And so as an HR professional, this is a place for you to begin to take some ownership. You know, I think that's one of your roles is corporate culture protection and in some cases creation.
Exactly. And so what happens is, let's say, you know, HR department, let's say they can't change the executives and they can't change the people because we can't change anybody. And if you want to continue thinking so, well, good luck. I wish you good luck with that. But when an HR department pulls itself together and sits down and says, who are we? What's our mission? Why are we actually here doing what we do? What do we stand for? Right? And the audiences they serve are different. So there's a thing that's called a brand positioning statement. And it's, you know, for this audience, we are the people who deliver this thing and we promise to deliver it in this way because only we deliver this magnificent result. And if an HR department sorts itself out and gets anchored in who it is and what it delivers and what its promise is to each constituency that it serves, HR is actually taking responsibility and owning its how it shows up energetically. And they don't even have to send out an email announcing it. It will just show up in what we call the field in coaching, the space. It shows up in the space. People will feel there's a shift, right? So I believe if HR wants a seat at the table, it has to own who it is and what it stands for and show up embodying that, right? It's a consistent embodiment. It's in actions. It's in everything you say. How you show up one place is how you show up every place. It's not limited to, oh, only in these kinds of circumstances. So, Mac, I love that you're talking about this ownership thing because this is really where the brand lives. You know, when I know and own my brand, I am aligned with values, principles, and a belief system that is aligned with being of service.
And now let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsor. Attention HR professionals and conference planners. Are you looking for a great speaker for your upcoming meetings or conference? Better contact Mac. Do you need someone who can relate to your audience and deliver a top-notch presentation? Better contact Mac. Are you trying to find a speaker who can both educate and entertain? Better contact Mac. Mac Monroe, the Boss Builder, is a sought-after keynote speaker and presenter who would love to present at your next meeting. His most popular topics are how to be a great boss for audiences of managers and executives, how to gain a seat at the table for HR professionals, and how to avoid ending up for all employees. Mac is a phenomenal storyteller, and his talks are lively, entertaining, and loaded with actionable strategies that will enable your attendees to make immediate positive changes. To get more information and book Mac to speak at your next conference or meeting, go online to bettercontactmac.com or call us at 931-221-2988. And now, back to the show.
Well, this is unfortunately, and if you're listening to this, do not take this the wrong way. It's not intended. But what I often see, because usually my gateway in organizations is through HR, is when I come up, the door is shut. So,
that's a clue.
Right. If I'm going to be in here and telling you about something serious, the door has to be shut. And because the nature of your role is doing a lot of that work, we often find the closed door. And I think what's funny, too, is you see the little whiteboard on the outside where you could leave your messages. And in defense of HR, a lot of what you do is not for public consumption. Good God, if you were to just say, let me tell you what I dealt with today and put it on, you know, the intranet somewhere, man, that would be fun reading. But you can't. So then let's think about this. You've been talking about the brand. What you talked about earlier sounded kind of like what a company throws out there as a mission statement. So is there a difference? And could even HR departments think about using mission statements too?
Yeah, I think the mission statement is, a brand positioning statement. And I always use little air quotes around that because not many people know what that is. It's a very particular thing. It's a particular kind of statement. There are a lot of different statements that are connected to a brand. And sometimes a mission statement, like if the door, like I always think of it, like if it's hard to walk through the door, what's the window in? So a window into it can be a mission statement. It's a, why do you exist? A mission statement is directly connected to why you exist. There's a mission statement is like, I exist to help people know their superpower and find the words to articulate it so that they can feel confident and live their superpower, period. That's why I exist. Mission statements tend to be, people want to use big words. They think it has to be all airy-fairy. You know, it's got to be like, and then they get 20 people in suits and ties who agree on it, and then it becomes embedded in stone. A mission statement is a living thing. But if you can connect to that, it's like a mission statement is, we exist to help whom, who, do what. There are verbs in there. It can be, 10 words. That's it. What? And the question I would pose for HR, anybody listening, is, what's the answer to the question, why do you exist as an HR department? And if you're shutting doors and you have a whiteboard, and you're not, and you have a, and there's a wagons in a circle attitude. And if I feel like you're keeping all these secrets from me, that's part of your brand. And I already get it. And I'm already afraid of you.
Mm. Yeah. It's kind of like the principal's office, right? The door is always shut and it's really clear on the door who's behind there. And I'm pretty certain what's going on back there is not good.
Right. So when you know your mission, and if your mission is to be open and available and helpful and supportive, then closing your door is a gigantic misalignment with that. How you act one place is how people are already getting the message you're sending subconsciously. And if, I love this conversation, Mac. I mean, this is a great place to look. What are people getting about you? And a way to find out is to ask them. And I promise you, if you sent out a survey that asked people, you know, what do you think the HR, our HR department does for you? How do you think we help our employees? What could we be doing better? It doesn't even have to be 1,000 questions. Ask 3 to 5 and have the people submit it anonymously. I promise you what you will get back is gold. Gold. You cannot pay for this. You could hire consultants for many hundreds, thousands of dollars, and they're going to come back. They're going to ask everybody all those questions. But it's really, and if you're committed to owning what you do, and if you're committed to letting go of feeling, of complaining about not being invited to the table, you want to be invited to the table, know who you are and show up owning that. And that starts with getting feedback.
Yeah, and I would imagine that if that would be best done with a double JD next to you, obviously not at work as you read those things. But what can't be fixed, right?
It's right. But here's the thing, right? And it's like, are you? And here's a question for everybody listening: as an HR person, are you open to receiving feedback? Really and truly. It's not a fake question. Are you open to receiving feedback for the sake of being the best HR professional in being the best at what you do? An HR person has a very specific job to do. They advocate for something, for people or for organizations, and for both, and that can be a very delicate dance to do. I suggest that HR people ask yourself the question, what do I stand for? Why am I here? And if when you can hear feedback about yourself and take it in as feedback and not personally, right? And some of it might get personal. But when you if you can own this, it's just transformation lives on the other side of that. People will stop because if you're sending the message that, you know, wagons in a circle and we're not transparent and, you know, make an appointment if you want to talk to us. If you want to be seen as valuable and if you want to be the people that are called in before there's trouble so that you can head trouble off at the pass, here's a challenge for HR people. Are you sick of saying, oh, we told you so, if only you'd called us first before you got into that situation, we could have helped you. Are you tired of hearing yourself say that? Know who you are. Ask for feedback.
Well, the feedback has been given. The glass is now empty. And so now it's time to take the data and be proactive. So what would you recommend HR professionals do to get started with branding? And something that might be just fun, because usually when you get feedback, it's kind of hard to take.
We love fun. Yes, feedback is really, really, really hard to take. And the payoff, the reward is huge if you can let it come to you and sit there. So let's, like, fun is one of my core values. Let's have fun. We're in the business of knowing who you are, and it can get kind of heavy, and who are you and who are you not, and, you know, what could be better and more different. But here's 5 things that I would suggest people can do right now. Know yourself. Step 1. This is what I call the brand discovery process, brand discovery. Like, pretend you have to fill out a name tag and it's got one word. Somebody says on your name tag, it's not your name and your title. I want to see the one word that describes your essence. What's the one word you want to be known for? What do people always tell you? Oh my God, you're so fill in the blank. Put that on your name tag. What would that word be? And if you don't know, and sometimes we know because honestly, this really does live in our blind spot. You know, because when people meet you, they already get to know who you are. Ask your colleagues. Sit down, have a little, you know, brown bag lunch with your colleagues and do the pretend we're writing a name tag with one word about ourselves and see what shows up. A, people in your group will get much more connected to each other. It's a bonding exercise and disguised as playtime. And you'll get to know who you are. So know yourself, 1. Know what you want to be known for. It's your choice. Stop doing work you don't want to do or that's not in your area. I know it sounds easy, but it's like re-educating. Your job is to, when you're being proactive and taking responsibility for your impact and how you show up, you're re-educating people about what they should come to you for. If you find yourself complaining a lot about the work people keep dumping, air quotes, on you, you're the one who needs to set the boundaries. What do you want to be known for? Write it down. Writing it down is a powerful way to connect with it, because when it's rattling around in your head, it just does. It's not an exercise that works. Three, know why you do what you do. You want to be known as the go-to person doing a thing you care about. What's the thing you care about? What difference do you want to make? Why? Why do you do that? And I don't put why first, because if you know yourself and you know what you want to be known for, the why will surface organically. Know how to communicate what you do. This is the fourth thing. There's a worksheet for this, LOL. At the end, I'm going to talk about, like, I'm the girl, like, I'm known for, she's got a worksheet for everything. But know how to communicate about what you do in a way that connects with people, not in a way that dumps a bunch of data on them about your job title and the tasks you perform. So that comes in, that floats in like elevator pitch land. But being able to communicate about it, super succinct, super clear, and I can already hear you going, but I do so many things and blah, 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 and I don't want to be limited. And, you know, I've heard it all. So, but there's a way to actually describe it. It's the essence of the thing that you do, but know what that, so know how to communicate about it in a way that's like, pretend you're telling a five-year-old, can your mother understand what you do? Can your, you know, can somebody who's not in your industry understand it? And then also know how to, and this is where owning the thing and showing up, this is where getting invited to the table comes in. Know how to create your own opportunities. When you know what your superpower is, that's part of your brand, how you help people, offer your help and expertise. Mention to a colleague you've noticed something they're struggling with. Come in with a solution, not a complaint. Ask permission. May I offer you? I've noticed that something is going on over there with you guys. May I offer some insight about that? If they say no, cool. Their possible answers are yes, no, or maybe a question, right? But when you create opportunities to be helpful, that's when you'll start getting invited to the table, because people will know what you bring to the table. When you know, then the invitations will pour in.
Well, it sounds like being proactive is the key to all of this turning out with a very happy ending. And this has been great, Maggie. I've really enjoyed these questions. I want the audience to be able to reach out to you. And you mentioned something about the worksheet. You're the worksheet person. So let's be very specific. How can the audience who's listening today, who wants to be done with being reactive and complaining, turn this around, discover the superpower, take ownership, develop a better mission statement, be very clear about the brand, and become a winning member of the team that's not just invited to the table, but listened to? How can you help them do that? How can they reach you?
Well, they're on my website, maggiesterner.com, and it's Maggie with a Y. There's a place where you can get an elevator pitch worksheet. It's a download. And that is actually contains all, I find that helping people craft their elevator pitches is a way into a brand that may be a little bit less intimidating than crafting a brand positioning statement. So it's an elevator pitch, and it's structured in a particular way. And it's just four or five steps, and work through that. And it will actually, you'll get connected to what you do and why you do it and how you help people. And it's for you to know this. And when you know this, then you'll be able to show up and be proactive about who you are. You're going to stand for what you do in a very different way. If you're interested in finding out how I can help your HR department discover its brand, connect with its mission, learn how to articulate so that you can get a seat at the table and be brought in for the decisions that you know where you can be helpful, go to maggiesterner.com/contact or go to my website. There's a contact page. And just shoot me, just fill it out and set up a time for a chat. I'm happy to talk with people about how I can help you. And the best way to, and I have a mailing list. I do a masterclass monthly called That's What's Up With That, where I talk about all things related to branding and business and how we can just show up being better at what we do and what we offer so that we can live our superpower. Sign up for the mailing list and all sorts of fun stuff, free stuff, and get more tips. And, you know, let's have fun. It gets to be fun, and we get to play with other people. That's how I hold it. You know, you want to play with people. You want to be part of a team. You want to make a difference. It just starts with knowing who you are. So those are some ways people can get that help from me.
That's great. Well, Maggie with a Y, I have thoroughly enjoyed not just our conversation today, but our previous ones on the phone. If I'm ever in a really depressed mood, I'm going to go to your website and say, can we have a chat? Because I've really enjoyed this. So Maggie, thank you again for giving us your time today and for your great words of wisdom. And best of luck as you continue to spread your message all over. We really appreciate you.
Oh, thank you for inviting me, Mac. This has been a joy to hang out with you.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast. We hope you found something today that will relieve your stress, feed your soul, and pump you up to face another day. At Boss Builders, we want to let you know that we appreciate the hard work you do every day as an HR professional. And as a reminder, always make sure to adjust your own oxygen mask before attempting to help those around you. Be well.